Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 15, the King James Version reads, "After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, that we forgive our debtors," and some say transgressions. Amen. "And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." Lord, I ask for your power and grace to reside upon your servant so that he may bring a word like only you would have it to be delivered. Allow me to speak your will in the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. First of all, I need you to know that, we're going to talk about silent killers. I was going to call it the silent killer, but silent killers is the name. It says, look, the Lord's Prayer is not a prayer, it's a template that you use to plug in your desires into those spaces available to fill in. See, it's a template, and this is why. See, Jesus says, "After this manner, pray." He didn't say, "Pray this prayer." He said, "Pray like this." And I'm sure you wouldn't want to pray the same prayer every day for every situation. See, when the believer prays through the Lord's Prayer, he or she will find that he or she has covered the scope of what God wants him or her to pray. See, let me go through the template for you. Amen. You know how you have a template and you plug in different things that have the blank here and you plug in things. So Jesus said, "After this manner, pray." The disciples saw him heal the sick. The disciples saw him walk on water. The disciples saw him turn water into wine. And it's amazing that they never asked him to show them how to do any of that. They only said, "Lord, teach us how to pray," because they saw his prayer life and they knew if they could get his prayer life, they could do the same things he was doing, because he said, "You will do greater exploits in my name." All right. So look at here. It says, "Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." That's how it starts out, the Lord's Prayer. That means whenever you start praying, you need to give God thanksgiving. When you start praying, you need to honor God and say, "Hallowed be thy name," and make sure that he know he's all that, the bag of chips, the apple, and the juice. You got to let him know that I love you, God, and I know if it was not for you on my side, there's no way I would have made it through anything I've made it through. If it wasn't for you, I'd be sick on my bed, and the coronavirus could have taken me out. But I thank you, God, for all you've done for me, and even if you don't do anything else for me, I glorify you and I worship you in spirit and in truth. I worship you when I get the job. I worship you when I don't. I worship you when I get promoted, and I still worship you if I get demoted. I praise you when I get the healing, yet I still worship you if I don't. I thank you, God, for everything you've done for me, because even if you don't do anything else, you still deserve my praise. That's how you start off the Lord's Prayer, and you begin to plug in the things you want, but you don't go into God's house without giving him thanksgiving. Some of y'all ought to know that anyway. Y'all don't even go to your boo house without giving thanksgiving. It says, after that, it says, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven." See, we acknowledge that God's will is already done in heaven. We just need to create the faith to cause it to manifest down here. You already have the victory. You already have the healing. You already have the deliverance. The victory is already yours. You've already won. You just said, "Lord, your will be done in earth as it is in heaven," because in heaven it's already done. You already healed. healed. That's why he says he hides the power in heavenly places. Colossians tells you to reach up to heavenly places to pour the blessings down that God has already ordained for you. You're already out of debt. You just need the faith to cause it to manifest down here. You're already healed. You just need the faith to make it manifest down here. You already have the victory. You just need to have the faith to make it manifest down here, because faith is the evidence and faith is the substance. Faith is the evidence of things not seen, the evidence and the substance. So faith is real. And the minute you have faith, it's already going to come to pass. Faith is the evidence, and the substance is the evidence of things not seen. The substance and the evidence is real. The substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, is already manifested in the heavens. You just got to have enough faith to pull it down here. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And you also let him know, not my will, but your will be done. So it's like we can pray for a whole bunch of things, but then say, Lord, at the end, it's whatever you really want. Remember Jesus, when he was going to the cross, he said, if there's any other way, let this cup pass from me. Can I tell you something? If Jesus himself struggled with his humanity and didn't want to do one of the things God wanted him to do, don't you feel bad when you really have a torn between what it is? Just make sure you do it. Don't feel bad for the struggle. Only feel bad if you don't do it, because even Jesus himself struggled with going to the cross. Give us this day our daily bread. This is showing God that we understand that we depend on him for our daily bread, which brings me to the thought of when he told the disciples, don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. God wants us to have total faith in him to provide our everyday needs. It is also teaching us not to be selfish. It says he trains us to say us, we, them, and not I and me. Give us this day our daily bread, which means we worry about our brothers and sisters. That's why even in the midst of COVID-19, we still help our brothers and sisters in Africa. We still feed the homeless. We still send two truckloads of supplies to Tennessee, even though we were going through our own thing with COVID-19, but they had the storm and COVID, so we made sure that we sent it out because we trust God for our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Basically, we're telling God to forgive us, but only if we forgive others. See, I'm going to get to 14 and 15 later, but he began to say, even if you don't forgive others, I ain't going to forgive you. Unforgiveness is a sin that blocks your blessings. We'll get into that a little more, but that's why Satan always trying to make you angry at someone, always trying to make you unforgiving of someone, because he understands that God forgives you of anything you do, but unforgiveness will block your blessings. Oh, you don't hear me. You keep shaving your beard because COVID-19 is out here, and you're making sure that the mask fit on your face, and you turn the water on and wondering why the water doesn't go down the drain. It's not going down the drain because your hair from your beard has stopped it up. Come on, somebody. And some of us want to be blessed and wondering why we're not walking in the overflowing blessings that God has ordained us to walk in. God, I pay my tithes. God, I give my offering. God, I take care of the poor. But do you have unforgiveness in your heart? You got to learn how to let that stuff go. Forgiveness is not for the other person. Forgiveness is for you. Because if you don't forgive them, you're going to have some blessings that are blocked. Because God clearly says, if you don't forgive them, I ain't going to forgive you. But we'll come back to that. Look here. And it says, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. So the same way you came into praying, you got to leave. You got to come into God's presence with thanksgiving, and you got to leave out with his thanksgiving. You acknowledge that God is in total power and control. And we want him to lead us into the path of righteousness and our divine purpose, and not down the path of destruction and sin. You end the prayer again the same way, but you want him to order your steps in his word. You want him to take you from point A to point B and not yourself. But look at this in verse 14 and 15. He just keeps it straight 100. He says, for if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive you your trespasses. Prayer is a silent killer, because you can shoot the devil down in your prayer life. Especially when you learn how to pray in the spirit. In your secret place, you can deal with the devil without even going outside. You can deal with the devil right from your house. You can pray and handle the situation. You can pray. You believe me, your prayer print can make it places your footprint never go. That's the power of prayer. So even though no one hears you praying at times, it still has potent power. You're like a sniper, or you're sending a drone out, or you're sending your prayer out to make sure that God handles or dispatches angels to handle the situation. But one thing that'll mess up your prayer life is a silent killer. Silent killer that a lot of us don't even understand we walking in. Silent killers, a lot of time we look at diseases like mesothelioma and with the lung cancer, and osteoporosis and weakening of the bones, and heart disease and aneurysms and obstructive sleep apnea and obesity kills 200 million. Even if they don't know they're sick, the weight on their lungs and heart and organs, type 2 diabetes, sudden infant death syndrome, cancer, stress, all these different things are silent killers. And even with the COVID-19, some of us could be asymptomatic, and it could be killing us and we don't even know it. But that is not the worst silent killer of all. The worst silent killer that you can walk in is unforgiveness. And when you walk in unforgiveness, it could cause you to have stress. You can create cancer in your body. You can cause aneurysms in your body. You can cause high blood pressure. You can cause all these different things in your body because you have all this stress and all this hatred bottled up because you've not forgiven your neighbor of something they've done. Some of you are still mad at people from the fifth grade, and you 70 years old and don't even remember why you mad, and wondering why you're not walking in an overflow of blessing, because God strictly said, he said, if you don't forgive your brothers or your sisters or your Facebook friends or your Instagram buddies or your deacon or your pastor or your trustee or your banker or your boo or your mama or your daddy or whoever you come in contact with, if you don't learn how to forgive them, I won't forgive you. He says this. And when you don't walk in forgiveness, you begin to leave money on the table. Let me just hit you where you can feel it, because a lot, I'm not going to even just say money. You leave prosperity, you leave blessings on the table. You know how you play bid whiz? No, some of y'all ain't ready for bid whiz yet. You know how you play spades, and you might bid eight, no, you might bid five, but you make eight, and you really could have had 80 points, but now you only got 53 points because you bid too low. Come on, some of y'all. Some of
your life is too low because you're walking in unforgiveness. And every time you see that person, you get mad. Can I tell you something? Some of you all are still walking in the same type relationships because you haven't forgiven the person from the previous relationship. Oh, y'all don't hear me. You're wondering why you keep meeting the same type person. It's because you're walking in unforgiveness, and unforgiveness creates an unhealthy soul tie. And you're wondering why, even though you don't like that person, you keep answering the phone. It's because that soul tie is an emotional tie that keeps you tied to them. And even when you walk away from them, you walk into the same type stuff because you didn't forgive the person from the previous relationship. I wish I had time to talk to you about Samson, because when Samson didn't forgive his first wife, that's why he got caught up with Delilah, because he couldn't get over what happened with his first wife, so he ran into somebody just like her because he couldn't let it go. I need some of y'all to just flush the spiritual toilet of life and get all that debris and get all that feces and get all that manure out of your life that's holding up your blessings because you're not forgiving those who've done you wrong. Some of y'all mad at all white people and all white people didn't do you wrong. Some of y'all mad at all black people and all black people didn't do you wrong. Some of y'all mad at the Jews and the Gentiles. Some of y'all mad at any pastor you see. Some of you all are so caught up in unforgiveness that you mad all the time and you can't grasp your blessings. Can't grab your blessings running around here with your fist balled up. Oh, come on, somebody. I need to free some people, because COVID-19 gonna tell the truth about your life. You ain't got time to walk around in unforgiveness now, baby, when some of us can't even go to our job and we can't go get our natural blessing. Come on, somebody. I need my spiritual blessing from on high. I need him to open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing I can't have room to receive. I need a good measure blessing, pressed down, shaking together and running over, but I can't get that from God if I walk around in unforgiveness. Making you mad and unforgive somebody is a trick of the devil. Sometimes the devil makes stuff look worse than it really is, because some of us looking for something to be wrong because we still mad from something that happened to us in the past. Some of us have not been healed from past relationships, and we walk around here mad all day long and wondering why our relationships don't work. Because if you don't forgive Fred, you can't really treat Bill the right way. Come on, somebody. If you can't get over Shaniqua, you better start trying to talk to Tamika. Because if you don't walk in forgiveness, you're going to bring that same baggage to that relationship. You have got to learn how to walk in forgiveness. I'm preaching on this because we're about to do communion. And the greatest act of forgiveness is when Jesus Christ died on the cross for you. It says sometimes people don't even want to die for somebody good and pure. But the Bible said that while we were yet sinners, while we were yet messed up, while we were yet doing things we weren't supposed to do, God still sent Jesus to the cross for us. He became the propitiation for our sins, walked up the way of Via Dolorosa, the way of suffering, and they put nails in his hand to bring the fruition of soteriological dispensation, that if there be no shedding of blood, there be no remission of sin. He died for you. So can you at least live for him and at least die in a way of forgiving people? Stop it. Stop it. I want to tell you to stop blowing your horn. Just walk in forgiveness. If you can do this, whoever you have not forgiven, whoever you are mad at, maybe your mother told you you would never be anything. Maybe your daddy told you. Maybe it's some school teacher. Maybe it's a police officer. Maybe it's a judge. Maybe it's a brother or a sister. Maybe it's a past relationship. Whatever it may be, I need you to say in your heart, I forgive them. You might want to even say it out loud, because what you need to do is get that out of your heart. Get that unforgiveness out of your heart so you can have room for God to bless you.
Because remember, he straight up said, if you don't forgive those who trespass against you, I'm not going to forgive you. Don't you allow the enemy to steal your blessings and have you mad and holding grudges for 2 and 3 years. You shouldn't even hold a grudge for 2 and 3 days. You should never let the sun go down on your wrath. Let it go so God can bless you. You're not letting it go to free them up. You're letting it go to free yourself up. Don't allow anybody's ill will against you cause you to miss your blessing. Don't. Stop it. Walk in forgiveness.